Hi everyone. So I talked today in a very interesting week for the markets because, of course, as many of you probably know, markets around the world have been falling a lot and the US market has suffered quite big falls. Now, a lot of people are trying to say, oh, this is the end of the bull market, blah, blah, blah. So I'm going to actually talk about that in today's podcast. Is this the end of the bull market? Now, what's very interesting is barely 8 or 9 days ago, the US markets hit record highs yet again. So the Dow Jones was at 26,820 or 830. And, you know, that was barely 8 or 9 days ago. And that was barely, 1 or 2 months ago after there was panic and so on about markets going down. So interestingly, this year, there has been numerous days where the markets have actually hit record highs and numerous days where the markets have fallen by 3 or 4% per year. But basically, markets have taken the scenic route to record highs this year, regularly going up and down, yo-yoing, but basically going up still, but not as high as last year where they went up 21%, but they're still slightly up for the year. Now, a lot of people say, well, the bull market has been going on for now 9 years or so since 2009, so surely markets are due for a blip. I would say let's look at the evidence to start with. So first of all, point one, as the article below shows about a crash is coming, there is absolutely no indicators out there about when a crash will come. In other words, when researchers have looked at numerous things, whether that's political, economic, social issues, there is no correlation or no indicators which have a strong correlation with when markets will fall. In other words, say, take any indicators, let's say GDP growth. There is no correlation to say that when GDP growth is going up, that means the market's going to go up. Likewise, think about all the geopolitical events like the Cuban Missile Crisis. You know what? Markets were doing very well, just then. Look at the last 9 years. Even during this so-called huge bull market, you have to remember there's been 2 or 3 years where the market performance has only been 1 or 2 or 3%. And then there's been other years where markets have gone up by 32%. But there's been no correlation. If you actually look at the figures for the S&P historically, there's no correlation between things like geopolitical risk and indeed market returns. Look at Trump. Markets have performed very well under Trump. That doesn't mean that's because of Trump. It's in spite of him. But no one can say also that, oh, 9 years means there's going to be a crisis. I mean, there's been many periods of time, for example, between 1985 and 1999. There was a 15-year bull market period for the Dow. So no one can know, no one can say for sure, because markets have gone up by a certain amount, that means they'll, go down by a certain amount. And more to the point, you have to remember something key here. Warren Buffett is the most successful investor in the world, and he has been invested consistently in the market for 75 years, and he lost, but you can put the loss in inverted commas, he lost $25 billion during 2008. He didn't try to time markets right, and he has regularly been down when markets have been down through the years. He's just, he's one of the few people who have outperformed markets, but it's a misconception to think Buffett has always managed to ride the wave of markets going down. Sure, sometimes maybe the market's gone down by 30%, like an extreme situation during the economic crisis. Buffett's portfolio went down by much less than that, but that doesn't mean he didn't lose at all. So if it was so easy to go in and out of markets, time markets, why isn't there somebody wealthier than Warren Buffett? Why, if it was so easy just to look at indicators, look at indicators like GDP growth, the number of years where markets have been growing, the number of years where such and such has happened. Why isn't there somebody twice as wealthy as Buffett? If it was so easy just to time markets, there should be somebody worth $200 billion, $300 billion out there, but there is nobody out there who has got that amount of money, even Jeff Bezos, but he's not an investor, but nobody has beaten Buffett. Even Soros hasn't beaten Buffett. So I would say for the average DIY investor, though, in comparison, there's loads of information that basically human error is the biggest reason for losing in your portfolio and trying to time markets. I mean, a lot of you have, of course, heard of the 80-20 rule in life. In other words, 80% of the results will come from 20% of the effort. But actually in markets, pretty much 80% of the returns will come from about 5, 10 or 20% of the days. So one of the reasons, one of the numerous reasons why panic selling doesn't make sense is markets tend to perform extremely well on certain days. So for example, in a year where the market goes up by 20%, but there might be one day where the market went up by 8% or 9%, one extreme day in the year. That's just one example, but especially over a period of 20 or 30 years, there's always going to be those few days where the markets absolutely surge and don't really look back. And if you are not fully invested always, you almost for sure are going to miss some of those good days. But the problem is nobody knows when those good days could happen. Let's say tomorrow, unexpectedly, there's a something happens in the market. People are not rational. There could be a absolutely huge surge in markets or huge fall in markets tomorrow. But nobody knows when those days are happening. So the best thing is always to be long-term in the market and not try to listen to anybody who tries to persuade you that you can predict markets. And what's also interesting about that is there's whole industries out there, CNBC, Bloomberg, Financial Times, maybe to a certain extent, but you know, many industries which really don't help with their sensationalism. I'll give you an example. So in the newspapers today, yesterday, it's been reported, oh, the Dow has fallen by 800%. Sounds so sensational. If they just said the Dow has fallen by 3%, a lot of people would think, why are you even mentioning this? Or if they said the Dow has fallen by 3% and that therefore brings it back to where the markets were barely 3 or 4 weeks ago, people would think again, well, why the hell are you telling us this? But saying, oh, markets fall by 800 basis points or 1,000 basis points, you know, markets have fallen from basically 26,000 to 25,000 or whatever. You know, that's much more sensational. It sounds much more worrisome, especially if you've got, an accompanying picture of someone with their head in their hands. In comparison, when markets hit yet another record high, it's just casually said, oh, markets have hit another record high today in the New York Stock Exchange. Whereas when markets are down, there's this huge kind of panic about people. And that also brings me to the final point in today's podcast. All psychological research has shown that people are much more afraid of losses than they are excited about gains. In other words, what I mean by that is that people are even prepared to accept lower returns if they can be persuaded that that will protect their money and they won't lose. So one of the huge reasons people don't make a lot of money in investing, even though markets go up incredibly long term, is people are so worried about losing money that they'll often do things like sell their portfolio when they're up by 60 or 70, 80% or panic sell when the markets are going down because they're terrified of getting a loss. And that's especially the case for wealthier people. Actually, believe it or not, wealthier people, especially if they've come from nothing, are more likely to panic sell during the times when it's bad. So for example, Warren Buffett's favorite book and also Bill Gates' favorite book, it's called Business Adventures. And it talks about how in 1965, when markets were about in the hundreds, never mind even 1,000, not like now where they're 27,000, brokers from around the world were getting panic calls from rich people from Rio de Janeiro to London to New York City and so on. And it was the rich people who are really petrified of losing money. And they weren't prepared to actually just wait for markets to, of course, go to yet more record highs. So I would say in conclusion, obviously, keep calm and also don't get too excited by the good times as well. Okay, I hope that's useful.